Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, August 15th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, Aaron Rex and Joe Koff interview recaps. Ring of Honor has announced a new working agreement with New Japan Pro Wrestling and the CMLL promotion out of Mexico. WWE has released its full slate of a WWE SummerSlam week. Their programming for WWE Network. And, of course, join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw, beginning with the pre-show coverage at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Non-members coming up after the break. We'll be talking all about CM Punk airing opposite WWE Raw tonight. Okay, get your DVRs ready. UFC presents Evolution of Punk is debuting tonight at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern on Fox Sports 1, FS1, if you will. The four-part documentary series has been in the works for quite some time. Rory Karp, the man behind the forthcoming Ric Flair documentary, the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary on Flair, and also the really good I Hate Christian Leitner documentary. He was in charge of this shoot as well. And I know from talking with Rory, the original plan was to actually debut this back, I can't remember if it was January or February. It had an NFL connection. I don't remember if it was coming out of the Super Bowl or maybe it was coming out of the NFC Championship game, something along those lines. But it was delayed because of Punk's back surgery. Punk's wife, AJ Lee, a.k.a. April Brooks, is going to be featured in the footage as well. I'm really looking forward to this because Rory puts out really good work, and I think, you know, it looks like going to be showing a lot of Punk's early days of training on this first episode. I think the footage began back well over a year ago, and so, I mean, with that in mind, look for everyone to be saying louder than ever tomorrow that he is going to get his ass handed to him by Mickey Gall when they fight on September 10th in Cleveland, Ohio, UFC 202, I believe it is. And, hey, and that certainly may end up being the case, but I do want to see, as we watch all four parts of this, if any perceptions change, because, of course, he's going to look rough. He's a guy going from pro wrestling, doesn't have a big amateur background or anything like that, and he's switching over to MMA, so the early footage, of course he's going to look awful. But does he win anyone over as we move forward in the four-part series, as we start to see maybe some more of the current, you know, at least the latest footage that's included in this series of CM Punk? Are there going to be any people going, hey, this guy looks like he might not be so bad? And I don't know. It's part of the appeal of seeing the show, along with the always entertaining on numerous levels, CM Punk. Looking forward to checking that out at some point late tonight after Raw. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that in the days ahead. Hey, it's SummerSlam week, and there is literally pro wrestling on television in some form every night from tonight through a week from Friday. It's crazy. You have all your usual weekly television shows, and yes, I'm including New Japan Pro Wrestling that airs on Friday nights as well. This Friday, though, we also have the Ring of Honor pay-per-view that'll kick off the SummerSlam weekend with a show headlined by Jay Lethal and Adam Cole for the ROH title. Saturday night is the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2 event with Samoa Joe against Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka against Bayley for the men's and women's championships. And then, of course, Sunday is SummerSlam itself. Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, and the list goes on. We are going to have live coverage of all of those events, so please make ProWrestling.net your home for what is sure to be a really fun stretch of pro wrestling here over the next, nearly 2 weeks. It's going to be a blast. This is the go-home edition of Raw that will be airing tonight on USA Network for Sunday SummerSlam event. Here's a few things I'm going to be looking for on tonight's Go Home Edition. Again, the Raw version of the Go Home Show. Number one, we know Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are appearing tonight. Is Randy Orton going to make another appearance? WWE had what I consider to be a pretty worthless segment last week, but Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley did say that they're basically not going to allow crossover between the two shows. I guess that was the point. Well, beyond just getting Daniel Bryan on Raw. But did they do this to add some sort of a sense of danger? If one of these guys or both of them cross over again this week? I'm not sure. I also want to know, well, I want to hear what Paul Heyman's final pitch for this is going to be. I feel like WWE has gone overboard in showing Randy Orton's vulnerable. His surgically repaired shoulder is something that Miz exploited in the first match back, and Alberto Del Rio did the same on last week's SmackDown. And Heyman and Lesnar have been making it seem like they're not at all threatened by Randy Orton. I don't expect that to change. It's kind of late in the game for that. It's just not really the style that Heyman and Lesnar go with. But what will that final sales pitch actually be? Is there a way that Heyman can build up Orton while still maintaining this front that he's just another guy? He's not the guy who's going to beat Brock Lesnar. If anyone can do it, Paul Heyman can. I want WWE to sell me. It doesn't have to be Heyman. I want WWE to sell me on Randy Orton being a threat to Lesnar. Not, you know, I mean, they're trying to put over the RKO, but I just, having watched what they've done on television lately, I just feel like the finish is going to be Randy Orton tapping out to the Kimura. And even if the idea is that they want us to think that, because they intend to shock everyone by having Orton actually beat Lesnar, and I don't believe that's the case, but I'm putting it out there as a possibility, of course, it still feels a bit lopsided that the heavy favorite is going to exploit the shoulder. And so even if you know you want to surprise people, I feel like you might be costing yourself some potential network subscriptions from people who, if they felt like the outcome was in question, might be more likely to order the network to see this event. Now, I don't know if it's a tremendous amount or anything like that, but I do wish I didn't feel that way going into this. I'd like to have them build up Orton in a way where I feel like, yeah, he is a real threat. I think the only thing that's playing to their advantage in a weird way, as far as like some, as far as the potential finish of this match, is that I think there are a number of fans who've convinced themselves that WWE is going to punish Brock Lesnar by having him lose to Randy Orton. I think that's kind of where it ends, though. Otherwise, I think people, you take that out of the equation, and people are just going, eh, chances are Lesnar wins. You know, I mean, and people always, there's always going to be some people that will convince themselves that the alternative can happen, and that's cool, but I think WWE could have done more to help send that message, to help those fans along, to give them reasons to feel like Randy might win this, and I'm just not seeing it. I'm hoping we get some of that tonight on Raw or on Tuesday SmackDown, but it might be too little too late. Another thing I'm looking for, will Finn Balor appear in his demon persona on Raw? They teased last week that Seth was going to call out the demon on Raw. The official Raw preview says that Rollins intends to conjure up the demon on Raw tonight. Boy, I don't know that I want to see the demon on Raw. It's tough. I mean, they've already showed the demon in video form, you know, from some of his NXT appearances, Finn Balor's NXT TakeOver appearances, so it's not completely uncommon. I really want to see how they handle this. You know, if they do have the demon appear on Raw in some fashion, is it done in a way where, take yourself out of the equation if you've seen the persona, but put yourself in the shoes of the average fan out there that casual WWE fan that may not follow NXT closely, are they sitting there at the end of the night going, wow, I got to see this? You know, that's the thing. If they do end up, and even if they don't, even if we don't see the character tonight or the persona tonight, do they do enough of a good job of teasing it that you feel like there's going to be some people going, boy, I don't know, I've kind of seen the video, Pat, but I really need to see this. What is this all about? And they order the show. The other thing I want to see is, when it pertains to this match, is how well they sell viewers on the new Universal Championship. I thought Mick Foley did a nice job of standing up for the title last week when Daniel Bryan was mocking it. I felt like that was actually the highlight of their segment. They need that. You know, Mick is good at delivering that that honest message. Of making it seem like he truly cares about this title. He's not going to let it be portrayed as a joke. He took exception to Daniel Bryan doing that. So what kind of a fuss can they make over the title now? In fact, we're going to see the title. Will we see it on Raw tonight? Do they want to show it off before it is presented to the winner of that match, or is that something they save for SummerSlam? Do they have some unveiling at SummerSlam, something like that? I'm kind of surprised it's not being pushed for Raw. The unveiling of that might actually be a nice little hook at some point during the show tonight if they were to tell viewers at the top of the show that they're going to be introducing that title. Also, are we in for another week of nut jokes from New Day, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson? Are they actually going to get down to selling viewers on the tag title match? I don't even know that I really have anything to add to that. It's just more of an honest question because I'm only excited by this match because I like the players. It's not because of anything WWE has done with their goofy nut jokes. Finally, do they drop hints that Charlotte may not be alone at SummerSlam? We know Dana Brooke is not going to be in her corner, but they haven't said anything about someone else replacing her, such as her Charlotte's famous father or something like that. Or do they kind of take the opposite approach and really sell viewers on this being a classic one-on-one match, and we're truly going to find out who the better wrestler is? And hey, if that's the approach you want to take and they don't plan to have somebody come out and spoil that, then I really hope that they just tell viewers that, yeah, it's classic one-on-one, and Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon have ruled that no one can be at ringside during this match for either party. I think that's the way you really send the message that, hey, it's just a one-on-one. It's Charlotte and Sasha. Forget about anything happening at ringside. We're going to find out who the better woman is. I think that would be cool. I saved this for last. There is a spoiler coming out of the TNA Impact Wrestling tapings, and I'm not going to get into any results. This one is about a title, and I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about, but I just want to warn people up front, just in case you're trying to avoid any and all spoilers about TNA Impact Wrestling upcoming television shows. This is the final topic of the day, so if you are trying to avoid all spoilers, again, it's not a match result spoiler, it just has something to do with a title belt. So if you are trying to avoid all spoilers, check out here. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. But for the rest of you, I think we've given people enough time here. Hopefully you're running across the room. You're going, I don't want to hear it. And you're hitting stop. All right. You've been given enough time. TNA is introducing a grand championship, and it's going to be determined in matches that include rounds and judging. So very MMA-like. They are going to have an 8-man tournament to determine the first champion. And I kind of have a mixed take on this one. You know, I mean, we obviously need to see how this plays out. But my first thought was that, hey, this could be kind of an interesting approach. I mean, I know it's done in the UK and things like that. But then the more I thought about it, the more it just felt a little awkward to me that you're going to have your usual regular matches, and then you're going to have others in this round format. Now, that's not a deal breaker, but I want to see how they execute this. And it also made me wonder if they have the talent to pull this off. I mean, Lashley seems like the right guy because of his MMA background. Drew Galloway, I could see fitting in with this. But I'm struggling to think of a lot of wrestlers who I think are going to shine in this format. But I'm curious. I want to see how they do this. Doesn't mean it's going to be good. But, if nothing else, the good news is that this apparently replaces that whole idiotic King of the Mountain championship. And I'm hoping that they find a new belt, that they're not just repurposing that red title belt that I always joked, the little red toy belt that nobody cares about. We've seen it used for countless different championship names. Of course, most recently was the King of the Mountain Championship, but this thing goes all the way back to Booker T introducing his own Legends Championship, and TNA has just kept repurposing this title over and over. If you want me to take this grand championship seriously, then I know TNA is not in a great place financially. Spend the money. And don't repurpose this little red toy belt again. It's not everyone's going to notice, but those of us who do are just going to be rolling our eyes at this. I think it would be awesome if they finally did away with that thing. They could send it to me. I'd be happy to smash it with a hammer. I would love to go recreate the scene from Office Space with the printer, with the little red toy belt that nobody cares about. I hate that damn thing. Is it okay to hate an inanimate object? Because I do, and I do it a lot. I know. It probably says a lot about me. All right, all of that said, though, TNA has been much better creatively in 2016, as I've been saying, for quite some time now. So, of course, I'm going to give this a benefit of the doubt, and looking forward to seeing what they have in mind as far as the rounds and things like that are concerned, and just to see the execution of this. Hopefully it works well. Hey, finally, do you want to help spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? Your answer should be yes. Take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. When I put out the Twitter link via ProWrestling.net or via @ProWrestlingNet, I should say, to this and any other podcast that we do, a quick retweet is very helpful and very much appreciated. I will be back tomorrow in this slot, so until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care.